on the actual
team. A lot of pressure, Avi. A lot of pressure.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Right, so here we go.
I'm just playing a bit.
If Curry was healthy, do you even like the starting lineup that they're rolling out right now? Not, is it the one that they're going to, just do you like it?
I see potential in it, and I think we need to give it time. So initially, I do like it, because I think they need to have a little size on the wings. I like the fact that Kuminga and Wiggins can switch on the perimeter when it comes to guarding and defending opposing wing players, but I'm not in love in it. I'm not in love with it, because I do see the limitations with the starting unit offensively, something Anthony Slater pointed to earlier this offseason. Now, Wiggins got off to a great start. TJD was solid. He didn't miss a shot in the first two games. I think Curry was starting to find his rhythm, but I do think it needs to be tinkered with, so I'm not in love with it. I don't mind it, but I'm not in love with it.
Right now, who do you have? It doesn't have to be five guys. It can be one or two or three or four. If you have five, great. Who are the five pillars, or are there five pillars to finish every game?
Ooh, great question. There's Steph. There's Draymond. And it goes by the game.
That's kind of how rolling? I feel.
Who's rolling?
But that's why, like, I was surprised, you know, that Draymond didn't come back into the game.
But you know what, though?
Sunday.
It tells me that Steve Kerr, and he showed this in the NBA Finals, he's not afraid to go a different direction if it costs a team a win or not. So we went with Looney the other day. So really, the only pillar, I think there's two pillars. It's Andrew Wiggins and Stephen Curry.
See, I agree on Wiggs.
Draymond, I think for the most part, will be in that finishing lineup, but I was a little surprised he didn't play the last 7 minutes of change against the Clippers.
Which brings me to Draymond. For those that weren't as tapped in on Sunday, because the Niners and the Cowboys were playing, what did you make of his game on Sunday?
It was one to forget. It was a forgettable game. Now, I know he was limping around a little bit, but he's got to be more aggressive offensively. There's a couple possessions you see him in the mid post where he's not in the triple threat position, where you're not looking at the rim. You're just kind of moving around, looking to pass the basketball. It was a forgettable day for Draymond Green. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, they challenged it, and he was running hot with the challenge, and he was telling the coaching staff, challenge, man, challenge. There's some where he looked like, you know, he wasn't necessarily happy that the challenge didn't happen right away, but he ended up winning the challenge. He won the challenge. But he didn't play in crunch time in the fourth quarter. And he just had one of those forgettable games, man. And hopefully he can turn the page and have a better game today against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans.
What's the weakness of this team early on, if I took injuries off the board?
The weakness, great question. The weakness so far, they only lost the one game, so it's hard to pinpoint. I think the weakness is they don't have an established rotation. I think having too many guys at times could be a detriment, right?
Because we keep hearing that the advantage of depth is X, Y, and Z.
Right. But if you're depth, right, you're playing, and you're a Moses Moody, or you're a Kyle Anderson, or you're a Looney, you may be playing in four-minute spurts. As a shooter, can you get into a rhythm? As a scorer, can you get into a rhythm by only playing three-minute spurts, four-minute spurts, five-minute spurts? So I think even though it's their biggest strength right now, it could be their biggest weakness that they haven't pared down the rotations. Ideally, you want an NBA coach to tell you, I want 9 to 10 guys, max. Steve Kerr's played 12 in the first quarter alone.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that could be a detriment to the team where you have too much depth and you need to establish the starting rotation. But Jason Kidd said it last night after the Mavericks win. He said, you know what? You're going to play if you're positive. And you're going to play if you're positive and contributed to wins. Right now, we can't worry about feelings. Check your feelings and be positive for the betterment of the team. And I think at some point, Steve Kerr, when everybody gets healthy, he may have that come to Jesus moment where it's like, we got to say screw the feelings. We got to pare down his rotation. And as 415 says, duh, turnovers.
Which brings me to Steve Kerr. I'll get into individual players in a second. Where is your confidence with Steve Kerr and his Midas touch when it comes to lineups, rotations, you know, specific play calling for specific players?
So far, so good with Steve Kerr. He's trying to give Jonathan Kuminga runway with the starters. He's unlocked Andrew Wiggins, empowered him to be more aggressive, which we see from Andrew Wiggins to start the season. He's playing everybody. The first two games, we had no issues, right? They had 38 and 35 assists in each of those games against the Blazers and the Utah Jazz Friday night. So that's 73 assists. They out-rebounded each team by 15, so they were plus 30 on the boards. They were 40 of 98 from the three-point line, so everything was flying. But then you get to step up in competition against the LA Clippers to come home for your home opener. And right away, you don't punch back. The Clippers dictated tempo. The turnovers are a problem. But Steve Kerr, so far, I think he's trying to figure out who's going to be the guys he goes with. So early in the season, I'm giving him a pass. I think Steve Kerr's been solid so far. I've got no issues with him. But at some point, he may have to pull the plug on how many minutes a certain player gets, who's going to start, who's going to come off the bench, who's going to be the sixth man, who's going to get the short end of the stick of getting the DMP or whatnot. So he's got a lot on his plate, but so far, so good for Kerr.
Let's start doing some of the players here. What's going on with Kuminga, and how do you get him going?
Get him some early touches in the paint. Get him on the block. Let him get that mid-post. Let him go attack the basket and get to the free throw line. Kuminga needs some easy buckets. Like any NBA player, you get some easy buckets, then all of a sudden you can step out and get to the three-point line and start shooting some threes. But early on, get him established early. You know Wiggins can get his. You know Steph can get his. Make it a point to get Kuminga touches early and often and empower him to feel like he's involved in the game plan here and get him rolling to the basket. Play to his strengths. Right now, he can run to the rim, he can dive to the rim, and he can dunk on your head. Let him defend and simplify the game for him. Tell him, you know, don't think too much. The motion, read, and react. I want you to do simple things. Dive to the basket, set hard screens, rebound a basketball, get to the free throw line. Simplify the game for Kuminga, but also get him some early touches in the basketball game to empower him.
What will we learn about Brandon Podziemski with Steph Curry's absence?
We're going to learn a lot. How much had the next step for Brandon Podziemski? He does a lot of things well. Handle the ball. He's in the right spots. He has good IQ. He keeps the ball hopping around. He's got to get that jumper rolling. Now's the time to get that jumper rolling. So that's the next step for Brandon Podziemski, is knocking down some shots from the outside.
Does Moses Moody even fit on this team currently? Full health.
That's a great question. I want to see Moses get some runway. Now, Buddy Hield's gotten off to the great start. Without DeAnthony Melton, they're going to count on Moses Moody to play a little bit more. But I did notice the first game, Moses Moody was a 12th guy off the bench. He did play in the first quarter against Utah. But you see in the Clippers game here, and he only plays 12 minutes. Maybe it's not. That's why you extend him with the team-friendly deal. Maybe it just comes to a point where you have to say, you know what, it doesn't fit with Moses Moody. I have a lot of hope for Moses Moody. I think there's a role for him on his basketball team, and he's going to get some runway here. Now, without Melton and Wiggins and Curry for the next two games, I don't know if Wiggins is going to be out tomorrow night. I know he's going to be out tonight. Moody's going to get an opportunity to show Steve Kerr that, hey, I belong on the floor. There's a role for me. Then it's up to Steve Kerr to figure out how to give him some minutes.
Is Buddy Hield having two good games, then a bad one, is that sustainable, or should we expect more of a dip?
You know,
because he's not going to play lights out every night.
He's not. And the Clippers, when they saw Buddy Hield step on the floor, they're all over him.
Do you think Curry's absence in the second half affected that a little more?
Not only that,
that he was great in the first half.
Well, now he's going to be elevated on the game plan.
Yeah.
Now other teams are seeing how the Warriors. And let's be real. You play the Blazers and the Jazz, two teams that are rebuilding. Now, Utah played Dallas tough yesterday in Dallas. But Portland, they're a long way away. We will see games like this. We saw it like this from Klay Thompson. There's going to be nights where Buddy doesn't hit. And I still have question marks on. I think Buddy's a great fit here. I really do. But I still wonder, it's kind of like Bob Melvin. Why did San Diego get rid of Bob Melvin? What's going on with the Padres? Why did they really get rid of Bo Mel? Why has Buddy been on five teams now? Why did Philadelphia not play Buddy Hield in the playoffs? Why did Indiana trade Buddy Hield when Indiana plays at the fastest pace in the NBA? They go up and down, get them up and down, and yet they traded him to Philadelphia. Why was that? So can Buddy Hield, when his shot is not rolling, how can he impact the basketball game? That's something that we're going to see here. Can he impact the basketball game if he's not making shots? Sunday, that didn't happen. He did play cross time. He did have the six rebounds. But can he impact the game without making shots? That's yet to be seen here with Buddy.
All right, two more questions before we get on out of here. Kyle Anderson. Does he just not fit?
It's early. I still think there's a fit.
What's he carving out for him?
I don't know. He played 4 minutes on Sunday against the Clippers. I was stunned.
Especially with Dre not playing toward the end.
I was stunned. His length. Now, his jump shot hasn't been rolling yet. TBD on Kyle Anderson. Bookmark him, though. Because it was strange to see him only get 4 minutes in that game against the Clippers. And he's a guy, I don't know if he's going to turn it over a lot, but in a game that you're turning the ball over, and he's a ball handler, now he's going to be able to handle the ball a lot more without these guys in, Curry, Melton, and Wiggins. Bookmark him, because I do think there's a role for him, but to see him only play 4 minutes against a team like the Clippers, who are bigger, longer, was shocking to me.
I still fear that even with all the athleticism they've injected into the team, because they are, they're a more athletic team. I don't think that that's arguable. Can they defend the rim?
Rim protection.
Like, they need another big. Yep. I feel like a wing for a big trade has to happen here.
Could. It could be.
So I guess my question to you is, even though they're more athletic, are they better this year than they were last year?
I don't know. Last year, seeing about 46 games, and Draymond missed 27. You know?
And well, I think he also got how many that. From Steph? 70?
He played 70 games from Steph, too. So
I mean, three games in, he already got an injury.
I don't know if they're better. Is the Western Conference better than the season ago?
What do you
think? I believe it is.
You believe it is?
I believe it is, even though Denver's going to take the dip. But the Clippers are all of a sudden 2-1, got some good wins.
I'm waiting a month before I make a... On the West, on the Warriors, at least I need to wait a month.
Now, I'll give you a bonus question. I was just asking myself.
Yeah.
I'll answer it. Will this be the final roster for the Golden State Warriors this season?
Absolutely not.
Deal's I think coming. Moves will be made.
Yeah, I think a deal. I think a deal's coming before Christmas.
Yeah, me too. I think they're going to strike earlier rather than later because you don't want to fall too far behind in the Western Conference. So, look, we're going to get a lot of questions to answer tonight, Shasky, with Pods, Kyle Anderson, Jonathan Kuminga. And then Draymond Green, it's a huge game for him against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans.
I think that what we just did there, a little 12-pack, I think we got to do that like once a week on the Warriors.
I like that.
Just rat-a-tat-tat. Because like none of these are things that you get into every single day, but like there's a lot of storylines on this Warrior team right now.
A ton of storylines.
And we play a ton of games every single week, and I think that like obsessing over Moody's minutes on a daily basis might not be the best thing for my mind. Talking about it once a week, I think, is appropriate.
Once a week. And again, this is a great opportunity for Moody to kind of tell Steve Kerr, hey, I'm ready to roll. All right, Antonio Daniels coming up. Color analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans. He'll be out here with Joel Myers. He'll join us to talk about the Pelicans and the expectations for New Orleans. That's coming up on the other side as we talk some Doves. We'll end the show with some fun. That's all coming up. Our great friends at Safeway Northern California Division.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hill. Listen to the Morning Roast of Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those break, Bonte.
Buddy, I'm trying to, man. Buddy Buckets. Off to a solid start this season. Obviously, struggled against the Clippers, so he'll get a chance to bounce back tonight against the Pelicans. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. All available right now. You can listen to all the great interviews or whatnot. So,
Bonte, did you see what the boss just did at the break?
I did see that.
He came in here filming me as I'm sitting here reading my phone and... I look up, he's wearing a Buzz Lightyear outfit. To infinity and beyond. We had a segment we did at night, Takes to Infinity and Beyond, where you had to give the most outlandish possible take that would never really happen that you possibly come up with, sports or non-sports.
Some will say we have those anyway.
Oh, I believe my takes.
Yeah, that's the problem. I do too.
That's why I have Walk It Back Wednesday.
Yeah, so they're not a take, technically. A take is something that you like almost do for clicks. These are opinions.
You ever done a take for clicks?
No.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I will say one of the things that gets me annoyed about the internet is when they say, Bonte, are you doing it for clicks? And I'm like, no, actually, I believe these takes. And I don't care whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that's how bad they are. We believe them.
I believe them. I convince myself. And I'm going to run with it. And I'm not afraid to run with it. I'm going to put my name on it. You know, shout out Trey Lance, who was at Levi's Stadium on Sunday. But
ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
Is anyone dressed up as him today? The ghost of Trey Lance?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, could you imagine, like, it really, sports is very much like taste, right? You know, you have opinions. And so, like, could you imagine, like, Joe, what do you want on your sandwich? I want mustard, mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato,
of
onions.
Of course, all the works.
What? You like lettuce and tomatoes? What a terrible take.
Well, no, I would say I would go with the bread first. If you chose like multigrain or something like that, I'd absolutely crush you. You never go multigrain in the sandwich. You go sourdough, you go Dutch crunch. Maybe wheat.
At a deli.
Maybe. Multigrain, never.
Well, at a deli is different. At home, I'm eating the Beckman's all-seeded, multi-seed, whatever. It's delicious.
That's a fireable offense right there.
Gosh, that is a fire.
You got to go get the Santa Cruz sliced sourdough is what you need to do.
Well, no doubt. And they have a wheat sourdough that's not as good. But I'll tell you this, Joe. The older you get, the more you try to reduce the carb intake.
All right, let's go behind enemy lines. We're going to talk to our boy, AD Antonio Daniels. Coming up.
When you need to learn about your opponent, you have to go behind enemy lines.
Are you serious?
Learning what we need to know about the 49ers' next opponent.
I am shocked!
All right, let's go out to the lines, man. And one of my favorite color commentators in all of the NBA. He gives you everything he got. I'm telling you, Joe Myers and Antonio Daniels, one of the best combinations in the NBA. You can hear about SiriusXM. You hear about the Pelicans Television Network, of course. And they'll be out here for a double dip tonight, which is a national televised game on TNT. And then tomorrow, which you can catch right here locally on NBC Sports Bay Area. The Pelicans come in at 2-1 with a slew of injuries, but a big-time expectation this year to take a leap in the Western Conference. Antonio, welcome to the Morning Roast here at the River Islands Guest Line. What's going on with your brother? Happy NBA season.
Yes, I hear that. Happy NBA season. What's up, fellas? Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, anytime, man. We love having you on whenever you think about the Pelicans. Hell, we think about basketball. We think about you. And, of course, Eddie Johnson is also over there at SiriusXM Radio. So the Pelicans, mm-hmm. We saw them a lot last year, and you guys took it to the Warriors, especially here at Chase Center. And I know you're missing a couple guys here, which we'll get into here, but I love the additions with DeJounte Murray, Trey Murphy the third, one of my favorite players. He's out for the foreseeable future, but they lit him up. So coming into the season, after last year kind of ended with a dud there with the injuries in the play-in game, what are the expectations for the Pelicans this season?
Well, I think the expectations are to finish in the top six. You know, nobody. The thing is, the West is deeper than it's ever been. That's a given. But you basically have 13, 14 teams competing for 10 spots. And every year you want to get better. So you don't want the Pelicans, you don't want to continue to find yourself in a play-in scenario. Mm-hmm. You don't. And right now you have a team that's talented enough. You have enough star power, right? You have enough firepower to work your way into the top six. That way you don't have to worry about the whole play-in situation. Do you have to play yourself into the playoffs, lose the first game, win the second game, whatever it may be. Top six.
You know, the Warriors have a bunch of guys that were dangled in trades all offseason, whether that was real or just speculated upon by the media. The same thing can be said for Brandon Ingram. I heard his name in a million different trade scenarios all offseason. Where is he at with the team right now? How's he playing? How does he feel about the situation? What's going on with Brandon Ingram?
Well, I'll tell you this first and foremost. We had training camp in Nashville. And obviously, anytime you're talking about a contractual situation, it's tough. It's tough. So what happens is B.I. now is on the last year of his contract. And guys can come into camp two ways. Guys can come into camp where they're pouting and upset because they didn't come to some sort of agreement to start training camp, or guys can come in more motivated than anything else. And I'm not saying this to be biased whatsoever. Being in Nashville for training camp, Brandon Ingram had the best training camp of anybody there. B.I. was 1A, Jordan Hawkins was 1B. As far as being impressive in camp. The first two games, B.I. averaged 27 points per game. In those first two, 7.5 rebounds per game. He's getting up a lot more three-point attempts. This is something they talked to him about in the summertime. So what's nice to see, because the thing is, you never know. In training camp, I've seen guys play well in training camp, and then the regular season starts and they struggle. And I've seen guys struggle in training camp, and the regular season starts, and they're in a great rhythm. Right now, in these first three games, B.I. is not letting that contract situation stand in between him and how he's playing. I love the attitude and the mentality that he's come into this season with.
Antonio Daniels, he's an NBA champion, also the color commentator for the New Orleans Pelicans, joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? So you just said 1A and 1B, and you mentioned Brendan Ingram's being 1A right now, Jordan Hawkins as 1B, as having good camps in Nashville, Tennessee. And I do love Jordan Hawkins, a second-year pro out of UConn. He can light it up with the best of them. But you didn't mention Zion Williamson, and obviously he's box office, and that's the guy it feels like. Boy, if he could take that next step and just stand on the court, you guys would be in that top six and be a threat in the Western Conference. Where's Zion Williamson at right now, Antonio?
Well, here's the thing. When I say 1A and 1B, what I'm referencing is guys that, to me, had the best training camp. And leaving Z out doesn't mean he had a bad training camp, but B.I. stood out to me because I'm watching with a different lens. I'm watching to see his approach into camp. Jordan Hawkins stood out to me because I'm watching to see if he took that proverbial step from year one to year two as far as confidence is concerned. Zion was Zion in camp. Z was Z. And then the thing that happened is he has yet to find his rhythm yet in this season so far. So the last preseason game, he was out the last preseason game, and then he was sick. He got sick, had a bug, missed the home opener versus the Chicago Bulls. So he was on a minutes restriction versus the Portland Trailblazers in this little baseball series that was down there. So it's a matter of time before he works himself into the rhythm that we're accustomed to seeing him in. Thing that we've always kind of attached to Zion is efficiency. You know, 60% from the field, 70% from the field. If you look at his first two games, that's been off because his rhythm hasn't been there yet. But if you look at the first game against the Portland Trailblazers, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. So he found different ways to contribute, but I think it's a matter of time before he finds that rhythm and hits the ground running.
No Trey Murphy III. He was awesome last year.
He's so good.
Everybody in Warrior Land was falling in love with him. And no DeJounte Murray. How big of a loss is DeJounte Murray, and how big of a loss is Trey Murphy in the small term?
Well, I think it's huge. It's huge for different reasons, though. DeJounte Murray is because he is a traditional point guard. And point guard, for me, it's a lot of guys in this league that have a point guard skill set but don't have a point guard mindset. And the position, to me, is not a skill set, it's a mindset. It's thinking the game like a point guard, thinking the game like a quarterback, understanding time, score, situation, what's needed and when it's needed. And that's why DeJounte Murray, that's why you trade Dyson Daniels, that's why you trade Larry Nance Jr., to bring in DeJounte Murray. Because if you look at last year in clutch situations, that was the New Orleans Pelicans' Achilles heel. They struggled down the stretch, understanding where the ball needed to go. How do I get it there? Whose turn is it to shoot? Who has it going? How can I put this guy in a position of success? And if you watch the first game versus the Chicago Bulls, DeJounte Murray did a great job of putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's what you bring him in for. But you got to find a way to figure it out over this next 4 to 6 weeks being without him. Trey Murphy, for a completely different reason, right? The fact that he's 6'10", can shoot from distance with accuracy, and you want to play small. You want to finish small on a lot of nights. Because remember, Jonas isn't here anymore.
Yep.
Larry Nance is not here anymore. Cody Zeller's not here anymore. So a lot of times you'll find yourself playing small ball. Trey Murphy being 6'10", with the ability to shoot from 25, 30 feet with accuracy, that's missed. That's missed right now. And I remember when last year, I believe it was, when I came on with you guys,
yep,
and I said, you know, talked about Trey Murphy being in a Splash Brother conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember so many people from Golden State, like, oh my God, this guy, he's so off. What is he talking about? And then that night, he went out and hit 5 shots from 30 feet or more.
Yep.
And again, it's not a creature of the moment, prisoner of the moment situation. It's what I see every day in practice, right? There are certain guys, for whatever reason, can shoot from distance with accuracy and with little effort. And Trey Murphy is one of those guys. So when you have guys like Zion, when you have guys like B.I. that carry so much gravity, you need guys to give them space.
You know, AD, on Trey Murphy III, and I remember when you said that, and I watched him in warm-ups, and Corey Brewer's out there, and I was like, wow, he hasn't missed a shot. He had like 10 right. straight threes from, you know, 5 feet from beyond the three-point line, and his defense is really good. At times, he's switching on to Steph Curry with that length and that big wingspan. I know in the pre-draft combine, or when he came out to work with the Golden State Warriors, I think he was in the Bay Area for like 3 days. And they didn't want him to leave the building. They were falling in love with this guy. And I'm thinking, boy, what could have been with Trey Murphy III? Now, Moses Moody, I think he's going to be a good player for the Golden State Warriors. And they just extended him. But his defense as well, AD. Trey Murphy III is one of those guys who could defend and be one of these two-way players in the league.
Yeah, and the thing is, people forget. Like, growth isn't linear. People forget. Like, Trey Murphy was just re-upped this summer. North of $100 million contract. And he's worth every penny. But people forget, 2 years ago, he got sent down to the G League. He got sent down to the G League because exactly what you're talking about, Monte, he was not ready yet defensively. Offensively, that's always been there, right? The length, the stroke, that's always been there. The toughest side of the ball for most guys is defensively, especially rookies and second-year players. And he was struggling defensively. Now the light has come on, and he's figured some things out as far as confidence is concerned. Not just offensively, but how to use what the Lord has blessed him with. He's blessed him with length, athleticism, and a huge wingspan. So he's not the strongest guy, but now he understands angles and how to use that athleticism on the defensive side of the ball.
What's your outside looking in view of the Golden State Warriors? Do you fear them at all?
I fear Steph Curry. I mean, you can't say, I don't fear the Golden State Warriors because they still have Steph Curry. And I know that's it's a very simplistic answer, but that's how I feel. If you have Steph Curry, you have a chance. Plain and simple, because he's that good. We all saw the Olympics. We all saw what he's capable of. His body of work speaks for itself. And it's not simply being the greatest shooter of all time, but there's no more valued skill in today's NBA than the ability to shoot the ball. There's not a player in the league that carries more gravity than Steph Curry does, with and without the ball. You have great players. Giannis with the ball, Jokic with the ball. Go down the list of different players in this league. But when Steph Curry comes off screens, all 10 eyes are still looking at him. So I don't think there's a guy in the league that carries as much gravity as Steph Curry does, whether he has the ball in his hands or whether he's running off screens without the basketball. Do I fear the Golden State Warriors? I think you have to fear the Golden State Warriors because they still have Steph Curry.
Interesting there. And they're obviously not going to have Stephen Curry tonight. He's going to be reevaluated at the twist of his ankle Sunday night against the Clippers, where the Clippers controlled the pace throughout the game and really took it to the Golden State Warriors here. On the outside looking in, as you mentioned, feared Stephen Curry and whatnot. But I got to ask you, how weird is it going to be walking into the gym knowing that number 11 Klay Thompson is now playing in Dallas?
Right.
I mean, he looks good in a Mavericks uniform, AD. He's lighting it up.
It is, because he can shoot. That's the thing. Again, there's no more value skill in today's NBA than the ability to shoot the ball. Nothing. And it is different. I saw a thing on social media today where, and I believe it's against Utah, where Steph throws the ball behind his back and he throws it out of bounds. And it's almost like that's where Klay Thompson used to be. Mm. You know, I'm accustomed to Klay being there. So like when you fire a coach and you bring in someone else, you got to start over. You know, your coach is coming in with a new system, new foundation. When you lose a player of that magnitude, because chemistry and camaraderie, I feel like it's so incredibly underrated. Now, if I'm Steph, I have to learn DeAnthony Melton, right? I have to learn Kyle Anderson. I have to learn some of these other guys that I'm not accustomed to playing with. And not only do I have to learn them, they also have to learn me. So there will be a I don't want to call it a rough patch, but there will be a time where they have to develop chemistry. And you know what fans don't want to hear? No fan from any fan base wants to hear, you got to be patient. Because they all want it right now. Yep. But when you lose someone with Klay Thompson's resume, with all that he's done here in Golden State, man, there's a grace period that you have to offer the Golden State Warriors, and especially the new guys that have come in.
Especially a Buddy Hield, who lit it up for the first two
Buddy
games.
Hield,
before
right.
we get you out of here, what's your thoughts on Buddy Hield? Because this is his fifth team. And I just keep trying to think, why didn't the Sixers play him in the postseason series when he could shoot the ball the way he shoots it? What about the Indiana Pacers that goes up and down? They play at the fastest pace in the NBA, yet they traded Buddy Hield before the deadline last year. What's your thoughts on Buddy Hield and his fit with the Golden State Warriors?
I tell you what's interesting is I heard a stat the other day that was so surprising. When you hear who leads the NBA in three-point field goals made over the last three seasons, your mind automatically goes to Steph Curry. Oh, got to be Steph Curry. Got to be Klay Thompson. And it's actually Buddy Hield, which is wild.
Yeah.
But I think that speaks to his skill set. And here's the thing. I'm not telling you guys something you don't know. Every situation is not the same. You know, the Buddy Hield that you've seen thus far in Golden State may not have or been playing with the same confidence in Philadelphia. Because new situations, a lot of times, sometimes guys need to change the scenery. Mm-hmm. I've played with guys that they'll be in one respective situation and sit the bench and go to another respective situation to be an all-star. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Because you're playing for a coach that believes in your skill set, one, and also knows how to put you in a position of success, two. All situations aren't created the same. I'm so interested to see, because the thing is, it's not fair to ask Buddy Hield to be Klay Thompson. That's not fair. Even though it feels like it, they have very, very similar skill sets, catch and shoot guys, one or two dribble pull-up guys, but they're two completely different basketball players. I'm interested to see how Steve Kerr maximizes Buddy Hield's ability to shoot that basketball. And if there's a coach that has experience with how to maximize guys that can catch and shoot, I think Buddy Hield's in the right place.
No doubt about it. AD, we'll see. We'll be out there tomorrow. National game today for TNT. But I always love these little double headers. Get two games in the next 2 days. And unfortunately, we missed Trey Murphy today. I don't think we're going to – no Warrior fan's going to say, oh, we missed Trey Murphy. We missed DeJounte Murray. Maybe catching the Pelicans at the right time. But these should be two really good games. The two, both teams are shorthanded but trying to find their way in the Western Conference. AD, always good to talk to you, brother.
For sure. Appreciate it, fellas.
Anytime. Antonio Steph. Daniels here on the River Islands guest line, man. I love listening. He brings so much energy. He loves, you can tell he just loves the game.
So interesting. Like, he said, without a doubt, the number one most critical skill in the entire NBA is shooting.
Yep.
It's just interesting. In today's game,
think about it, Shasky.
Well, okay, let's look at the roster that they have, right? Like, yep. They've added a lot of shooting, but think about the carryovers. Like, TJD not going to be a shooter. Yep. Looney not going to be a shooter, though he's trying to add some of that to his game. Kuminga, though he shot well at times, he's not what I would deem to be a shooter.
Prototypical shooter.
He's a slasher.
Yep.
Draymond won't shoot at all. And I think that's the thing that's really, like, as a one-way specialist, that's, I think we overrate the defense and underrate the negative impact on offense. And it's just, I feel like people think that it's either you're all in or all out. Or like, no, I want Dre, but we also have to be realistic here. And like, he's lacking in a very important aspect of the game.
I hear defense wins championships all the time, right? Especially in football, defense wins championships. But the way sports are being played these days, even in football, in basketball, sometimes I look at these games, I'm thinking, boy, my offense is my best defense. Because if I'm getting buckets or if I'm scoring touchdowns, I'm putting more pressure on opposing offense to have to score to match me. Right? In the NBA, for example, the Warriors, and Evan Turner's talked about this on the podcast with Andre Iguodala, point forward, and it's so spot on. And going to those games, he's so right. The Warriors would beat out 13. Right, and there's Kevin Durant, even before Kevin Durant, maybe down 10, you got Steph, you got Klay rolling, Draymond's barking, and maybe down 10, and you see these other offenses pressing, saying, we have to score every time down, because all of a sudden the avalanche of three start coming down, Oracle or Chase starts going crazy, and all of a sudden you start wilting. Same thing with the Niners offense last year. It's like, you got to keep up, buddy. You got to keep up with these guys. And if you don't, each possession, you start getting tighter. You put more pressure on yourself. So sometimes, like, you look at the Boston Celtics, their offense right now, their defense is really good, Shasky. Really good. I'm not taking anything away from their defense. But the way they can hit shots and the way they can hit threes put so much pressure on you to try to keep up with them. And as you miss a couple shots and they make a couple, you look up the scoreboard, you're like, damn, we're down 9. Damn, what happened? They just hit 3 shots in a row. So sometimes your offense has to be your best defense and you have to get buckets, right? You have to get buckets. That score the other night is, in today's NBA, it's kind of a low-scoring game, 112 to 104. We're used to seeing games down to 120s, to high teens. You have to get buckets. You can play great defense all you want to, but if you're not scoring a basketball or shooting and making the defense honor your shooting, you're going to be in some trouble in today's league. You're going to be in deep, deep doo-doo in today's NBA if you can't hit shots.
Well, we talk about Draymond like he's this elite specialist, which I guess to agree, he is still an elite specialist. But all the elite specialists, as they aged, added elements. Yep. Bruce Bowen added the corner three. He couldn't shoot it at all.
Yep.
He added it. Shane Battier added a knockdown shot. I think we're entering...
Rasheed Wallace?
We're entering this area. Oh. Read this.
Oh.
Read it. I wrote it down.
I see it. You think it's the Tony Allen treatment now?
It's the Tony Allen line of demarcation. And that's where we're at. 2014, 2015, the Warriors put the blueprint out there.
Yeah.
If you refuse to shoot, we will refuse to guard you. And I keep saying it, and everyone wants to point. And look, Kuminga is not some finished product at all.
Not
He's to a degree a specialist. But it's not either or. When you are playing TJD, Draymond, and Kuminga, it is too much Tony Allen-like stuff where they are one-way players
right.
who don't stretch the floor, who don't space it, aren't looking to drive and get their own shot. Now, Kuminga will drive at times to get his own shot. Problem is he gets a little reckless,
right.
gets out of control. It's just, that's why I'm telling you,
I
don't think Dre, Kuminga, TJD, that is not a sustainable lineup.
No, I think Steve Kerr will make... He would tinker with it. And here's the crazy part. You know, as you mentioned, Tony Allen, I don't even know what his three-point percentage was, but I bet that Draymond Green has a better percentage than Tony Allen, which to me makes it a little more frustrating offensively. Offensively, I think Dre is capable of hitting about three threes a night. I really do. It sounds crazy, right? But let's look at Tony Allen here, three-point percentage. He's a lifetime 28% three-point shooter, Tony Allen.
Okay.
28%. I mean, that is, 23%, 34%, 35%, 27%, 30, like, awful. And I love Tony Allen. I do. But the Warriors said, you know what? We're not going to guard him.
Well,
which Luke Walton kind of did to Draymond Green back in 2019, where he stopped guarding Draymond Green. Now, Draymond is a 32% lifetime three-point shooter. And he's coming off a season where, look, it was some rough rides from the three-point line for Day-Day. 30%, 31, 28, 28, 27, 29. He gets back into the 30s in 2022, 23. And last year, he attempts 2.5 threes a game, and he makes 39.5% of them. Now, if he was able to, because teams, even if, say, Draymond hit 4 out of 5 threes every single night, teams are still not going to honor him on a three-point line. They're going to dare him to beat him. I think it's imperative that he takes so many shots and he hits so many shots. To your point about the Tony Allen line of demarcation, the buck that trend said, hey, I'm going to age my game because you're bringing up guys who added something to their game. Rasheed Wallace, what did he do? Added a three-point shot. Sam Perkins added a three-point shot. Grandmama Larry Johnson didn't have the athleticism anymore after his back injuries. What did he do? Became a knockdown three-point shooter. So to that point, if Draymond did shoot that three with consistency and hit it with consistency, then yeah, teams are going to at some point say, you know what, we can't get beat. Because NBA coaches, Shasky, they hate leaving guys wide open. They hate leaving guys wide open.
Well, because they're NBA players and they'll knock that down. But I contrast Draymond to the last 2 years of Al Horford. Al Horford at 36, 37 years old, he knows to stay in the league, what's he have to do?
Got to hit some shots.
He's shooting almost 43% from three-point line.
Got to hit some shots.
Right? Now, I looked at Draymond, and I've been looking at his stats all morning. Since 2019, he's a 30% three-point shooter from three-point land. And again, like the Tony Allen and him, that's a lot closer than 30% to 28%.
But I'm looking at last year. Last year
but he doesn't take enough of that.
That's my point. And people laugh, and I'm like, dude, if he takes like 6 or 7, if he hits 3 or 4, all of a sudden, that's 9 points. All of a sudden, you get a couple chippies in the paint. You're averaging double figures. You just scored 13 points.
But it opens all, like the other part
and
of this, it opens the floor up for him as a playmaker.
No doubt.
And then he can drive a little more. And so, yeah, like, look, everyone could say that he does so many great things on defense. He still needs to pick up his offense here if he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot.
Well, it's kind of going back to the Sacramento series in the first round. We were discussing it. You're like, Bonta Hanna going to beat the Kings. I said, I think they need to go to a one big lineup. I think the one big lineup is a way to go against Sacramento.
Yeah.
And what flipped that series? Going to the one big lineup. Now, they eventually went back to Looney and Draymond in the front court, but they flipped the lineup. Now, that was in game 7 where they was like, all right, we got to go back to Draymond and Looney, and it ended up working out, and you get 50 points from Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
But that one big lineup, even against the Lakers, Steve Kerr was thinking about it. He started Jermichael Green. You know what I'm saying?
I forgot.
Because of the shooting. So if you're going to play TJD and Draymond Green together, it is imperative that Draymond shoots a little bit more offensively. And there's going to be plenty of shots available tonight.
You think he plays tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Well, he was on the injury report earlier this week, so.
No, he's not on the injury report right now.
Oh, that's good.
I just pulled it up right here.
They need him.
Steph
need
Curry
him.
Out.
You know, an all-time legend needs to help all these youngsters and will this team to a 500 yep. record for as long as Steph's out.
It's also a great point by the 5-0. Jason Kidd added a three.
Yes, he did.
He added a three-point shot. So that's the next evolution
it's
here on this team.
We've been talking about Draymond's shooting for... Like, and we're not even saying he's got to shoot 15 times a game. Because, like, Robinson, he needs to get back to 15 points a game. He never averaged 15 points a game. It was 14.
Yeah.
His 14, best year was 14.
14.8?
Yeah.
I guess if you were... 14. No, it was just 14.
It was just 14.
Just
okay.
14.
But, like... Dude, we're talking about just a couple buckets. We're not talking about... It's like... It's the same thing when I look at, like, wide receivers for the Niners. We're talking about, like... 3 or 4 targets.
Yep.
We're not talking about 22 targets yep. or 22 shots from Draymond. We're talking a couple right. of drives and a couple right. of three-point shots. And then maybe you get fouled and you go to the free right. throw line.
Because Ty Lue against the Clippers, they said, you know what? We're going to get all over Buddy Hield. We're going to get all over Buddy. And we're going to make these guys, like Wiggins, they say, go ahead, beat us from the three-point line. We're going
to
live with that.
But to Wiggins' credit, when the shots aren't falling, he will attack the rim.
He goes to the rim.
And he'll go try to get offensive glass rebounds and get his own.
And that's what I want. And that's what I want from Kuminga. Get to the cup first.
Well, he needs to,
and then let to the three-point shot come alive.
I would love for him to just say, regardless right. if the shot's falling or not, I'm going to get 12 rebounds a game.
It's also, this is a game, too, where I really want Pajitska to be aggressive offensively. And don't worry about the shots that are falling. But sometimes these shots that are presented, just take them. Hoist these bad boys. Let's go. You got to get your game right offensively. And I know Pajinski's put in a lot of work in the gym to get that three-point shot up. And he's talked about it. I got to be better catch and shoot. I got to be better hitting the open three. So Pajinski, I expect. And Pajinski's playing fine. He's just not hitting shots right now.
Yeah, but they got to fall.
They got to fall, no doubt.
There's no doubt. Now, I think he's playing really hard. I mean, he had a really nice steal to make that game closer toward the stretch, down the stretch with like 4 minutes to go or whatever.
This is a pressure-packed season for the Warriors. The vibes are good. They're immaculate. But there's also baked-in pressure here. Well,
there's a lot of
line. Because DeAnthony Melton's is a free agent. Slow-mo, what are you going to do with him? Uncle Looney, Kevon Looney's a free agent. GP2 is going to be a free agent. Steph Curry, what does he want? You know what I'm saying? Pajinski, trying to make that leap from first team all rookie all rookie first team to, hey, I'm a legit professional. That's not a fluke. TJD, I'm a legit 5 in this league. You know what I mean? And then Draymond Green, how can I elevate my game and take it to the next level? And then, not to mention Andrew Wiggins, kind of rejuvenating himself and saying, hey, look, man, last year was a complete fluke. I'm here. This is a two-way wings you got when you won a championship. And this is why I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins, because of personal stuff we underrated. That must have been tough on him, but he's playing well. But Kuminga, the pressure on Kuminga. Think about what Draymond said at Media Day, Shasky, to Kareth Burke. He sat down with Kareth Burke. It was a great interview, NBC Sports Bay Area. And Draymond said, look, it's my job to get Jonathan Kuminga into the All-Star game. I have to get him to be an All-Star. He's a 3, and the expectations for him should be an All. He said that.
I know, but it's absurd hearing him say, I have to get him.
Well, he's basically like, he said, I got to help him. I'm paraphrasing here.
Kuminga's very important.
But that pressure of like, oh, man, my teammates expect me to be this, and now you're playing without that contract extension, there's a lot going on. And we know how last year with Jonathan Kuminga, so there is a lot on the line. There's a lot of baked-in pressure. You know what? These injuries, I hit them right in the face. So the depth, it's going to be tested right away. It starts tonight against the Pels.
The amount of people who have texted in the last 30 minutes that if Steph doesn't play, it's almost a lock that Draymond finds his way. Like, and it's a joke, but like teched or thrown out of the game. It is. If it does happen, like tonight, I'm going to be real with you. If it happens tonight, like I'll start buying into the whole does wild things almost on purpose. Like, I don't
absolutely
buy that.
Incredible.
If it happens tonight, I will start to buy.
Well, if it happens tonight, the full lines tomorrow. Oh boy. It's a big game.
Well, when
for the
he
Dubs.
Said to Baron Davis, "I can control how many texts I get, and I'll keep it under 10," it was like, "No, you're not going to keep it under 10 this year." Like what? You had one in the first 5 seconds of the season.
Oh, like, we didn't get to.
And
some fun
you're not
stuff
in
there.
Control. That's like that was the rage monster. Like, I'm in control of my emotions. Misses the eagle putt, misses the birdie putt, smokes the par putt by, snaps the club in half.
Hey, it happens to all of us. I just like Baron Davis running into J.J. Redick at the car wash, saying he's watching film there. I don't even believe that. I'm just saying things.
You can watch anything on your phone now.
J.J. Redick. Yeah, I watch everything on my phone. Dinner, everything. Shout out to John Dugan. The original Jones on Chestnut Street. Beautiful. The decor is awesome. Had a great time in there. I need to send a personal text, too. Love the decor. I always look at the decor. The lighting, the windows. It was great. But I bring my phone. Everyone asks at it. I got a game on all the time. Phone stays charged up. Games are on, buddy. Games are on. I'm not missing no action out here. Big game for the Warriors tonight. Big game. Got anything?
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
You know, there's certain guys in sports that just get under my skin, and I don't even really know why. CJ McCollum's one of those guys.
I was going to say, I didn't know where you're going. I didn't know if it was Sean Payton, Doc Rivers. All right, CJ. There we go.
No, he likes Sean Payton now.
No, I don't. J.C. Horn and I were yelling at him for trying to run the score.
Well, no, that's Sean McVay who you like now.
Yeah, McVay I do like. Well, he reminds me of me.
Even though you ripped me for so long for liking McVay. And
some guys are just motivational leaders.
I'm not letting you get away with that. What? I'll pull it a snidey here.
What?
Now he reminds me of me?
Yeah.
No. You ripped me for liking McVay for so long.
Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
No. McVay is me.
You're not a blonde white guy who's like 5'9".
But the swagger. It's not just, hey.
Swagger.
The swagger.
It's the gel in the hair.
That's where you lean in and say, both Sean McVay and have beautiful wives, both beautiful children.
I was going to get there.
That's where you lean into it. There you go.
I was going to get there. But Shasky has a beautiful
wife. I was worried about his swagger. His home. I was going to compliment that first.
The home decor. Decor is important.
No, Malibu, I'm sure. That's where he lives.
Getting back to my point, there are certain guys that get under my skin, and I don't even have a reason why. I don't know why, but CJ McCollum is one of those guys. He just annoys me.
Thanks for the new CBA. How long is this Jerry Jones cut?
It's like 50 seconds.
All right, let me just play it. Here's my final thought, because I don't know what it's.
Okay.
I just want to hear Jerry Jones on a heartbreak in San Francisco with RJ and Sean, 105.3 The Fan.
One of the few times I've ever cried, literally cried, was the championship game that we had there at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. We lost that game, and I thought we had a great team, and we lost it when Switzer was our coach, and our Dion was a 49er, and we came back there, and I thought we had a chance to win it after a disastrous start. So I can go that far back with you on what San Francisco has meant to us. We've had some great days in San Francisco. They're a great franchise. They're formidable. We've got a great history with them. Now, they've been to more championship games than we have. I think we're both needing to see a Super Bowl in the participation area.
God, man. That guy. Karma! Karma, sports karma, Jerry! Love it.
I mentioned it earlier on the show, but shout out to the Sharks, the last NHL team this year to finally get into the win column, coming back down 4-1 last night. Alex Wenberg with the OT winner. Spadoni, if you could.
Grambling shoots! Back to flex up high, and they score! Alexander Wenberg! The Sharks with an incredible comeback! And they win their first game of the year. It's a miracle in Utah. Look at the reaction. Look at that reaction.
It was a great reaction indeed. Randy Hahn on the call there for NBC Sports California. Guys, they scored 3 goals to erase a 3-goal deficit. You know, 3-goal deficit. In less than 2 minutes to force OT. Great times for the Sharks, man. Listen, there are not going to be a lot of wins for this team this year, but moments like that, we can enjoy the joy you saw on that bench last night. It's nice to see the Sharks kind of working their way in the right direction, even without Macklin celebrating.
I mean, final thoughts, man. Fast Five. Projected number one pick. Sharks taken, by the way, Utah Hockey Club. I like the logo. I like the name. I like the fact
just
that somebody's saying
it, right?
Hockey team.
I like it, too.
Yeah,
kind of like Washington football team, right, Vontae? Yeah, I kind of like the one, the Commanders, whatever.
Yeah, WFT?
Yeah, right? It sounded cool. It looked cool. My final thought is, even in a loss, I'm actually impressed by J.J. Redick so far as head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. It's early. They've been impressive. LeBron, I think he's finally feeling it, even close to 40. Like, there were times yesterday where I could watch the game and be like, damn, he's feeling old. He's feeling old for the first time, and I'm watching it in real time. Which is crazy to say because he's 39.
Right.
It's just like now he's feeling it. But you could see it late in the game yesterday, and I guess he's not feeling it. His nose hurts or something. I don't know.
Well, like Mariano Rivera, you know, when he went around the country and everyone gave him a retirement party, the Lakers gave him Bronny.
That's it seems to have rejuvenated him in the Lakers.
Lakers 3-1.
Not the
rolling.
Blood doping. Not the HGH.
Well, is that an accusation there, Joe Shasky?
I mean, look at his forehead for crying out loud.
I'm not. Don't do that. You could get sued. Where's my read? Damn it. Did I throw it away already? Oh, that was Fast Five.
It bothers me.
Brought to you by Xfinity at Home. We're on the go. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have fun, everybody.